Britain's businesses say they're facing major headaches 2 years on from a Brexit deal. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Thanks for being back with us. When the UK left the European Union, it stepped away from a free trade area. Negotiations for the new relationship were long and complex, concluding just before Christmas 2 years ago. But more than half of UK businesses who trade with Europe now say they face problems with those new arrangements. That's according to the British Chambers of Commerce, a lobby group which represents thousands of businesses employing a total of 6 million people. Sam Martin runs male grooming products company Apothecary 87.
One of the things that we have done as a company is really taken a step back and reevaluated where we're going to sell and how we're going to sell our products. So Spain and Italy have various inspection fees. So we have just completely stopped sending to those countries.
Graham Tallis is from GT Seafoods, based in Peterhead, Scotland. He supplies fish around the UK and to the continent.
Cost of paperwork, cost of exporting fish, I would say it's risen about 15-20%. A lot of obstacles has came across since.
Well, for more, we spoke to Alex Veitch, the Director of Policy at the British Chambers of Commerce.
And we are finding in our survey and in talking to thousands of firms all around the country that over a half of them are struggling to adapt to the new trading rules. And about three quarters of them are saying that the Brexit deal isn't helping them increase the sales. There is enormous concern in the SME community about the volume of paperwork. Every consignment of agricultural products or food has to be signed off by a vet. And that's something that could be done away with at the stroke of a pen.
That's Alex Veitch of the British Chambers of Commerce. Well, the UK government says the current arrangement is, quote, the world's largest zero tariff, zero quota free trade deal, offering access across key service sectors and opening new opportunities. We're staying in the UK as we get you up to speed with the numbers now, because economic data out here today showed the economy shrank by more than first thought in the 3 months to September. The economy contracted 0.3% compared with the previous estimate of 0.2%. As GDP was also revised down for the first half of the year. One of the biggest manufacturers of electric trucks in the world says adoption is being held back by the energy crisis. Swedish giant Volvo CEO Martin Lundstedt warns Europe risks falling behind the rest of the world if it doesn't invest more in energy infrastructure.
The green transformation, when it comes to digitalization, we need to make sure that we have the technological abilities to provide those in Europe. Otherwise, we will just fall behind. We have seen that. No, I have to say I'm very positive about how the corporate sector are thinking about how they should future-proof their business. And one of the most important future-proofing here is actually, as I said, the green transformation. When it comes to the green transformation, people are ready to actually increase their investments in order to make it happen. Because when you're at the starting point now of, you know, the whole battery electric vehicle movement for heavy-duty transport, that is a big thing, right? And that requires courage to get started, because there is a lot of, you know, new parameters coming in here.
Martin Lundstedt, the CEO of Volvo. The global toy market topped $100 billion for the first time ever last year, according to the Global Toy Market Report for the NPD Group. But with soaring inflation, people may be thinking carefully about where to splash the cash this Christmas. Our Christmas elf, the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson, takes a look at what's likely to be in Santa's sack this year.
Christmas is nearly here, and this year's festive season should hopefully be rather more joyful than the last couple of years, when coronavirus restrictions overshadowed pretty much everything. Then again, war in Ukraine, sky-high inflation and spiralling energy prices aren't exactly ideal conditions for a happy holiday. Frederic Tutte is the Global Industry Advisor for market research company NPD Group, and she says this economic backdrop is influencing consumer spending.
It's the lowest price point that are struggling. It's as if consumers are cutting down on the little non-important occasion, the impulse purchase, in order to keep the budget for the more important occasions, the $30, the $50 or more.
And those big purchases are being influenced by what kids are watching on their screens.
Roughly 30% of all toy dollar sales are linked to an entertainment property one way or another.
Our fate is in their paws. is a dog.
And one of those entertainment properties is Paw Patrol. The movie made $144 million last year, and toys linked to the TV series are expected to be big sellers this Christmas too. But there's still some room for new kids on the block. Rainbow High, a kind of fashion school for creative kids, is making an asset out of diversity. Sarah Taylor is the managing director for the UK and Ireland of MGA Entertainment, the company behind the Rainbow High dolls.
In research that we conducted, about 80% of parents said they were looking for more diversity in the toys that they were buying for their children. And so we have a doll with albinism, we have a doll with vertiligo, and we have a doll that wears glasses. So the bestsellers actually are the two dolls with the visible differences.
A trend that's often magnified during difficult economic times is nostalgia, harking back to better days when everything was simpler and less depressing. Alan Simpson is the chairman of the Toy Retailers Association, and he thinks many of this year's bestsellers will be old school favourites.
Lego is an absolute stalwart. You have old favourites like Play-Doh, you have the old Monopoly favourite, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Super Mario, Rubik's Cube.
So it seems that as trends come and go, what kids really want is a bit of Play-Doh and a Rubik's Cube. Or at least that's what parents might be telling themselves. In London, I'm Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
I think I do pretty well with a bit of Play-Doh. I'm Will Bain with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.